Blog Talk Radio.
I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straight Way Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E. 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives, so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him.
Mass Deliverance, September 2002.
Oh, Jesus! Come out, loose them, and set them free in the name of Jesus. Spirits of drug addiction, come out in the name of Jesus. Loose them and set them free. Come over here, right here. Get on up here. Right there. Loose them and set them free right now. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, loose them, and set them free in the name of Jesus. Loose and set her free right now. Spirits of explosives, spirits of verbal abuse, spirits of martial art, spirits of cruelty, spirits of hatred, come out in Jesus' name. All these demons are crying out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, spirits of lust, in the name of Jesus.
And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him.
Tyler, Texas, 14 December 2002.
Come out of him right now in Jesus' name, Satan. Come out, demon. I bind you right now in the name of Jesus. I bind you right now in the name of Jesus. Come out, demon. Come out, the spirit of hate. Come out right now in the spirit of love. Come out right now in Jesus' name. Come out right now. Right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, come on. Come on right now, Satan. Come on, Satan. Come on, Satan. Come on, Satan. Move right now, demon. Move. Move right now. He hates you. He don't want you. He wants you out of him right now. I command you to come out right now in Jesus' name. Come here, brother. Right now, he's not here. Here. Turn him over. Amen. Turn him over to the back here. Hold his arm. Hold his arm. Hold his arm. Hold his arm. Y'all hold his leg. Give him a leg a piece. Come out, Satan. Come out right now, my name. You can't have him. You can't have him. You've been found out, haven't you? Loosen yourself and loosen money.
Praise God.
Is that your brother, man?
Praise God.
Amen, brother.
Praise God.
All right, bro.
Praise God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God.
You feel that spirit come out, brother?
Oh, yes, sir. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Well, again, I'm going to make emphasis on this again in Mark 16, verse 17, 18. And these signs shall follow.
I remember that deliverance distinctively. I was in Tyler, Texas, somewhere along about 2002. Yep, yours truly. Pastor Dow, Sister Carol, we was in Tyler, Texas. Went down there for a meeting. I actually cast that demon out of a man in a hotel room, the hotel meeting room. And, of course, you could hear the people back there literally being appalled. Of course, that's part of it, isn't it? Hallelujah. Greetings, each and every last one of us who press the strong, victorious, mighty, overcoming name, while our soon coming King, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Glad each and every last one of you here, and you are listening to the Straightway Truth Radio broadcast. I greet you all, I bless you all, and I welcome you all to the broadcast here tonight. Now, if you're listening and you want to talk to Pastor Dow, his call-in number is 515-602-9654. That's 515-602-9654. You want to talk to me? You press number one, get into the caller queue. Friday night is where we actually do call-ins, and we take your phone calls. We're going to ask you to be brief because we're getting out of hand with long stories, long accounts. If you got a question, get right to the point. Somebody else right behind you will want to ask the same question. I promise you that. And if they want to ask the same question, or they may have a question they want to ask, but they can't ask it because the broadcast goes too long and there's too many people trying to give a life story. All thing we need to hear is just your question so we can get right to the answer, hopefully bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to others. Hallelujah. Now, we're Israelites. Here's Straightway. We're Hebrews. We're Israelites. We're not Christians in any way, shape, fashion, or form. That does not mean we are against Christ. As a matter of fact, we're for Christ more than you are. Because we love the biblical foundations of freedom that is outlined in the scriptures. We speak about criminal law, speak about law of property, law of inheritance. We speak about law of contracts, law of family life, kinds and powers of government, court procedures, social security laws, religious laws, laws of what they call citizenship, but speak about torts, taxes, the whole nine yards. We speak on the social, political, economic perspectives, point of views. Speak about the moral law, civil law, the dietary law, the ceremonial law. And then, more than anything, hallelujah, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. And that's where we come from, the book and the book alone. You know, in this world, if you have embraced the truth, you become someone like a sore thumb out of joint. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, we are still obedient servants to the Most High Yah. We greet you all. Glad that you're here on this Shabbat listening to us. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. All right. With that said, let's go ahead and go to the phone line. We don't want our Father to take away time from the people. All right. Call number 608 from New Jersey, 608. It's Pastor Dow. I'm going to share with you the radio broadcast. I can help you there in New Jersey. All right, New Jersey going once. New Jersey going twice.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, Pastor Dow. This is actually Brother Ryan from Wisconsin.
Ah, I wonder why your brother ain't putting New Jersey up there. Well, how you doing, Brother Ryan?
I'm doing very well, sir. Always listening, you know. Hoping to see you in Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm coming to your neck of the woods, be the Father's will.
Hallelujah. I just wanted to call in and let everyone know I'm still listening.
Hallelujah. We figured you were, brother. You hanging in there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Very well.
Glory to the King. Good to hear your voice, Brother Ryan. Look, Brother Ryan, looking forward to seeing you.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to hug you, Pastor.
Hallelujah. Be encouraged, son, okay?
Yes, sir. Bless you, Pastor. Bless you, Saint.
Make sure you get that phone number. Leave your phone number up there for a little bit, Brother Ryan, so Brother Saint can get the correction on your phone number.
Yes, sir.
Go to Wisconsin. Call number 920-920. This is Pastor Dow, Unity Servant Truth Radio broadcast. I can help you there in Wisconsin.
Hi, this is Brother David.
Hey, Brother David.
I'm a friend of Kabir's.
Ah, hallelujah. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, I'm over here. We're just listening to your radio show, and I'm looking forward to seeing you on December 9th. I enjoyed teachings that you've been I've been learning from with Kabir, and just checking in.
Well, glory to the King. Glad you made yourself known. Brother Kabir is a very sincere, serious brother. Of the Most High Yah, no doubt he has been called out of the world and out of darkness and into Yah's marvelous light. So if you're fellowshipping with him, I know that you're in very good hands. Looking forward to meeting you. Looking forward to seeing you, my brother.
Oh, me too. Thank you.
Hallelujah. I'm glad you're enjoying the teachers, man. Now, you know, here, you know, I almost demand for people to study, almost demand for people to research, almost demand for people to check out everything that I'm saying, preaching and teaching, because for so long we've been sitting in churches listening to people's opinions and their perspectives and their feelings and their ideals rather than the word. And so over here straightway, brother, we deal strictly with the word of the Most High Yah that delivers us and sets us free. All right, my brother?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, Brother David. All right, it's two from Wisconsin. Let's go to Florida. All right, now before we go there, check this out. I'm going to be in Wisconsin December 9th, 2017, be the Father's will. Looking forward to seeing you and you. Now, don't forget, if you're on YouTube, YouTube is back censoring me again. And if you see any ads to play, just let them play and endure the ads for a little while so we can make some pocket change off of them and pay some bills. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Let's go to Florida, Brother Alden, 786-786. It's Pastor Dow. You're the tribute to the broadcast. I can't, Brother Alden.
Hey, Shabbat Shalom, my pastor.
Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom.
I want to ask something. Do you mind if I just ask you some questions with scripture, my pastor?
I don't care.
All right, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to see if you can help me get some understanding here. Where did I just highlighted it? Leviticus
all
chapter
right.
5, verse 4. Which, is it okay if I read it?
Yeah, go ahead. Leviticus chapter 5, verse what?
Verse number 4.
All right, go ahead.
It says, or if someone swears rashly to do what is good or evil concerning anything, a person may speak rashly in an oath. And hold up. Without being aware of it, but later recognizes it, he incurs guilt in such an instance. Can you give me an example of that?
Oh, man, there's a whole bunch of guilt. Let me answer that. First of all, the law teaches that anything we do, you know, let's make it easy. You ever heard of the law of vows whenever you're vowing a vow?
No, just the commandment, sir, that we shouldn't keep.
But the Bible says whenever you make a vow, defer not to pay it. Is that right?
Yeah, that you should pay all your vows, all your debts. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, vows, meaning anything that you swear or you anything that you pronounce before the Most High Yah. You say, you know, Yah.
Yes, sir.
You bless me, I will do this, I'll do that, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. You know, defer not to pay it,
yes,
brother.
Sir.
Are you following me? That's the same thing as
yeah,
going
you
on
now.
Over here. You're following the same exact thing going over here.
Yeah, but
over
the thing that tells me out.
To do evil or good, whosoever it be that man shall pronounce with an oath shall be hid from him, and he knoweth it, he shall be guilty of one of these. You ever turn? Let me go to another route. You remember over in Ezekiel that if a man turns around and sees another man doing iniquity, but he doesn't warn him?
Yes, sir.
And he says what? That blood is going to be on his hands, and that man's going to die in his sin, right? Same thing here.
Yes, sir.
Same thing here.
Okay. Can I tell you how what was confusing me at least?
It says
like foolishly, like if you make a foolish vow, like if you make
yeah.
at least another translation says if you make a foolish vow, so I'm thinking like, damn, what would be a foolish vow that I could make, you know?
All right, I'll give you another example. You want another example?
Now, I get how you're telling me, Pastor. Like, I understand how you're explaining it to me, but I guess then I'm trying to see it. The way I'm seeing it is the wrong way then. That's all it is.
Well, let me give you this.
Because I get what you're explaining
foolish.
It to me.
Well, the Bible says foolish and unlearned questions avoid because they do what? Gender strife.
Gender strife.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes,
because all the problem is this is somebody making foolish vows with no thought, no conscience, no ideals for recourse or penalty.
That's what I was thinking too. That's what I understood at first, but then the part that throws me off is when it says, where is it? Without being aware of it, so that means he's not aware of the foolish vow he's making, but it says...
That means that he's not fully aware of the consequences of the vow in itself.
Okay. So, all right, so then... Now I'm with you, man. I'm with you, my pastor. First, I thought there was more to it, but... So if I make a vow, let's say if I put my household in jeopardy... You know how somebody, I guess they could go gambling and they'll make a bet they can't pay? That would be a foolish vow, so that would be a sin. Maybe he doesn't notice it at first. Would that make sense?
And I can give you all kinds of examples throughout the scripture and stuff about people vowing a vow. And you remember the man who had a daughter that we dealt with over in, I think it was Jephna? Remember that we dealt with that some time ago?
Yeah, Brother Eric had asked a question about that, I think. It was related to that.
And I actually did about two or three different scripture studies over that.
Okay. I guess I don't remember the detail like that, but I do remember about the vow where they gave one of the children or something. They were like, oh, what happened to
yeah,
the child?
Yeah, but what I'm getting at, I'm just getting to the ideal of making foolish vows and stuff and speaking without any thought and conscience and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you then. It makes sense, my pastor. Can I throw one more at you real quick?
Sure.
All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, here we go. This is the one I really want. Give me 1 second. It's on Hebrews 13, 8. Basically, where it says, Jesus Christ is the same tomorrow, today, and yesterday. How do you understand that?
Who created the heaven and earth?
Jesus Christ.
Exactly. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He just does things differently in dispensation of times up on this earth, but he don't change. So the same Elohim that gave the commandments to Mount Sinai to Moshe is the same one that walked the face of planet Earth, forgave Israel of their sins, and became a sacrifice for them. The same one's going to judge in the end. He is the same.
Okay, hallelujah. I think you asked me with the second part. No, yeah. Well, let me tell you what. I came across the stumbling block to I guess just for more clarification, because you know when the law where they says he takes the firstborn son, and then he changes it to taking the Levites in. I was like, man, if Jesus Christ is the same today, tomorrow, forever, then how come that law changed? That's not applying to that type of... Yes, sir?
He doesn't change. He changes according to conditions. You follow me? But he himself doesn't change. I'll give an example. It used to be in the law that if somebody commits adultery, what would we do? Stone them. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But now we're in captivity. And you can even read that adultery... after the captivity of Ezra and stuff, when Ezra then was in captivity coming out and stuff, that it was no longer a commandment or a law punishable by death.
Okay. All right.
You get it?
Marshall, just like you said, yeah, I get what you're saying. How you said, what was it, the word you said, dispensationalism, those are the things that changed with that, but it's not that he changed. His character is the same, basically, correct?
Yeah, his character's still the same, stays the same. He changed towards the conditions again. If we was in our land where our laws, statutes, and commandments would be in effect, then we would still be punishing adultery by death, if you understand what I mean. But since we've given up that land, by not following his law, statutes, and commandments. Therefore, the law is still the same. It's still going to lead to death, period. Are you following me? But it's no longer a punishable crime as being up under people, being a people of captivity.
No, well, hallelujah. Thank you, my pastor. I just had to get rid of that stumbling block because I had that there as a stumbling block, and I knew, you know, I just needed some clarification. That's all, man. I truly appreciate for giving me your time, Pastor.
All right. Bless you.
Bless you, my pastor. Shalom.
That's a good question. And that's not to say that everybody's going to really truly get clear and understand them all, but that's some pretty good questions. Go to North Carolina, 919-919. Let's go to Brother Timothy. It's Pastor Dowell. We're going to serve you through the radio broadcast. I can help you.
Shalom. Shalom, Pastor. How are you?
Well, I'm blessed to the most high of y'all. Doing well, Brother Timothy. What about you?
I'm doing very well. Doing very well. Continuing to listen and just, you know, just taking it day by day.
All right. How can I help you?
I had a quick question because I've been thinking on things like, being a man, you know, obviously masculine energy, different things like that. Like, and, you know, I was wondering, like, because, like, in a Gentile culture, we're taught skewed perceptions of what things are. And I think I'm getting the idea of it, but I wanted to see what your opinion was of it. What do you think really makes a man? Because in this culture, they ascribe a lot of things to being a man, but it's challenging me. It challenged me before, but I think I'm getting a little more understanding. I just wanted to get your take on it.
What it takes to be a man is about being obedient to Yah. Period, point blank. Yes, and why shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of Yah and being obedient to Yah, period, point blank. That's what makes the greatest man or one of the greatest men on the face of planet Earth.
Yes, sir.
You follow me? Submission, yes, obedience to Yah.
Mm-hmm.
That a man. Because it takes a man to do that. It takes a punk, a sissy, a selfish person, an inconsiderate person to do their own will and to live in a life of sin because there's nothing required. That's easy to do. The whole world does that. It takes a man to serve Yah.
Hallelujah to that right there. Definitely. Well, thank you very much. That's very refreshing, you know. Because, you know, when I was young, I always thought, oh, you get enough money, maybe that makes you a man, or you do this, that, and the other. But, yeah, I'm starting to really see that, sir.
No, man is a man of God. Highest call in the universe
yes,
is the saint. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right, thank you very much, Pastor. Bless you, and shalom. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom, shabbat shalom. Let's go to New York, 718-708, Brother Dominic. Pastor Dow. Brother Dominic. You on the Straight With You radio broadcast. I can help my brother.
Shabbat, shabbat, shalom, my pastor, my shepherd. Blessings to you in your home and all the saints that are down there in the tabernacle and all the saints that are scattered all around the world. How you doing, my pastor?
Doing well. Blessed to the Most High Yah. Highly favored. I can help you, son.
Hallelujah. Pastor, I actually just had a question on a passage that I was reading. I know in this season we're really trying to buckle down and getting into spiritual warfare and, you know, how we do it and really trying to bring greater knowledge on that whole case right there. A passage that I was reading was Matthew 16:23. And it's talking about Peter, and there was one point that Jesus is saying that he's going to be killed on the third day, and he has to go down to Jerusalem, and, you know, they're going to do all these things to him, and Peter comes out and is like, yo, don't say that. What type of foolishness is coming out his mouth? And he kind of rebukes Jesus. And Jesus answers him by saying, get behind me, Satan. So, to my knowledge, when it's one thing to see a situation and see when the devil's at work, but why exactly did Jesus respond directly to Satan instead of calling out maybe spirit of so and so?
I mean, who knows the mind of Yah and who at any time has been his counselor? period, point blank. One thing about it, he could definitely discern when Satan was speaking through a human, and if he told Satan to get thee behind thee because you don't favor the thing of God, it's just that Satan was trying to mask his agenda by trying to get close to Jesus because of one of his main chief disciples.
Right.
And Jesus picked it up.
Right.
So that should, what that should do is let us know that at any given time, no matter how close we are to Jesus, that at any given time, Satan is subject to speak through us. That's why we have to be discerning in the hour that we live in.
Hallelujah. Being that Jesus is creator, he created Satan. Obviously, he will be able to recognize, like, Satan's voice. Is there any time that me and you, deliverance workers, we will have to discern Satan himself rather than a certain demonic spirit?
Well, when you look at it, I mean, Satan only appeared two or three times in the scripture himself. We usually deal with demonic spirits on high-level angelic forces and stuff like that, but you know, Satan only appeared to like two or three people. I mean, he appeared to Job. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
All that destruction appeared to Jesus on the high mountain. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
I mean, there's only a few times that he himself made a grand entrance in order to try to interfere the affairs of man.
Right. Yeah, I'm seeing that. It seems like maybe Satan only comes out like when he's dealing with the big boys in a sort of way. He's dealing with the Messiah himself.
Don't get it wrong. Don't ever take your enemy lightly. If anybody is for Satan's kingdom, they're still working for Satan, period.
Okay, I understand that. Hallelujah. Well, that's all I had, Pastor. I was just really trying to peer into my own thoughts that are going on, like the thoughts that I hear when people speak, so that I can, you know, discern spirits and become a little stronger when it comes to the whole topic of spiritual warfare. Well, thank you
all
for
right,
understanding, Pastor.
Glory to the King.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Go to Maryland, Cool James. Call number 443-443 is Pastor Dow. You on the Servitude Radio broadcast. How can I help you, Cool James?
Hallelujah. Blessed with my pastor and all the saints scattered abroad. I greet you with a greeting of peace. May the Most High Yah be upon every single one of you that can hear my voice and those who will listen to it at a later date. How you doing, my pastor?
And bless you, my brother. Doing well. Good to hear your voice. Always good to hear your voice, brother.
Thank you so much, Pastor. I really appreciate that. I just came in to say Shabbat Shalom to the saints scattered abroad and those that are listening in. Although this time I do have a question, a bit of a elementary question. I believe I should have the answer to this, but I'm not sure exactly that I have the nuances of it correctly. So with your permission, I'll proceed with the question.
Go ahead, my brother.
Hallelujah. A couple of the verses that I've read, starting with like 2 Corinthians 10:3, and it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." All right, and then I skip over to Galatians, and obviously just read a little bit before and a little bit after. But in Galatians 5:16, it says, "Then I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And my question to these, and I'm closing up, Ephesians 6 verse, where it says, you know, we do not war against the flesh, but rather principalities, powers against rulers of darkness of the world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, the reason I'm asking this is, in the general life of a saint, are we walking in the flesh and we tap into the Spirit at certain times of the day, or are we walking, is the goal to continually always be walking in the Spirit, and what does that mean exactly, if that makes any sense, Pastor?
We're admonished over and over and over again as Israelites because, you know, let me go this route, because most people even including a lot of people in the ministry of Straightway, have never really, really, truly been born again. They have followed this Christian theology of Billy Graham and all the other these European so-called evangelists, and have given them this false sense of being saved or having salvation by repeating out a few words. Salvation is an individual, personal experience with the Most High Yah Himself, Yahshua HaMashiach. And man, I'm talking about getting down on your knees and don't get up until you know you've been changed. That's called being born again. Once you're born again, you have no desire to fulfill the lust of the flesh. You have no desire to walk in the flesh. Are you following me? And so since we have no desire to walk in the flesh to fulfill the lust of the flesh, we are charged continually over and over again to make sure that our heart is not overcharged with serpentine, that we keep our mind stayed on the Most High Yah so that we do not walk in the flesh and fulfill the lust of it. Because anytime you don't stay connected to Yah, you put yourself in a very weak and vulnerable state. And then when you get in a weak and vulnerable state, your mind is going to start entertaining the things of Satan, and then you're going to start walking in the flesh. Are you following me? So we're admonished. These are admonishment verses to walk in the flesh so that you walk in the spirit so that you do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So you stay connected with Yah. You stay motivated with Him. You stay in His kingdom. Then you don't have to worry about being tempted and enticed in certain areas by Satan too, you know, because He promised to not tempt us above that which we are able to bear. So it's about keeping your heart and your spirit right.
I got it 100%. I do have a follow-up question that works alongside with that. I'm not sure exactly if this works towards just having childish fervor or what have you. For example, we talk off about spiritual warfare and whatnot. And when you make a decision, I'll give you an example of myself now. Currently I'm working in a hospital setting, and you see plenty of people that have need and have requests for prayer and things of that sort. How do you decide whom it is that should be prayed for or have some kind of deliverance thing done on? Or is that something that the Spirit will just lead you to where the Most High is leading you?
Sometimes the Spirit will lead you to certain people, especially if you can listen to me, determine that they have faith to be healed. Notice, if they have faith to be healed. If you watch the life of Yahshua, most of the people came to Him to seek healing. Same thing in the hospital environment today. If somebody come to you, then you ask them, do you believe that Jesus can heal you? But you don't go out there just laying hands all over sick folk and stuff like that. Jesus didn't even do that unless they came to Him. Could not put enough emphasis on this. Unless they came to Him, they made themselves available. And then, of course, they always had the admonishment after He prayed for them to go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. So in that environment right there, don't let the devil try to tempt you, entice you and stuff, make you think you got to lay your hands on every sick folk in there, because there are a lot of people that just simply don't want to be healed. Some people love their sickness. They relish in it. It's a badge of honor. They love their diseases. They love all this stuff. But you have to be led of the Spirit, and you have to make sure that these people have faith to be healed, and you have to let them people come to you.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you perceive that someone has faith to be healed, then go ahead and proceed forth and ask them, do they believe if Jesus can heal you? And they'll usually tell you, yeah, but I don't want no healing right there. Believe it or not, people will actually tell you that they don't want healing, believe it or not.
You know, it's funny you said that, Pastor. I actually had that happen with a pastor, and I had actually referred him to call down a Straightway, and he actually gave me the same exact statement you just said, so...
Yeah, he trusts the doctor.
Well, yes, sir. And I told him his wife had a brain tumor, and he's a pastor of a local church here. And I told him to call and see if he can get together with you. And he just said, you know, he just kind of poo-pooed what I was saying, and I never heard back again from him. So I definitely understand what you mean, Pastor. And I do appreciate you for taking the time to answer my question. I thank you so much, and to all the saints, bless you in all your prospective places.
Bless you, Brother James. Have a wonderful Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom. Let's go to 727 Brother Rhett. 727 Brother Rhett is Pastor Dow. You're on the Straight with Truth Radio broadcast. I can help you, my brother.
Hey, Shabbat Shalom, Pastor.
it's Brother Red. Lately, before the broadcast, us and the brothers were watching some old videos of you block laying. And I noticed out in the field, the block layers, they lay from left to right. I see in your videos, you lay from the right to left. So what particular reason why do you lay the blocks from right to left?
Believe it or not, I don't have, a lot of times you may see that in videos, but I don't have any particular way that I lay blocks. I just lay it to the line, depends on where I'm setting it up, which way I go. But if you're laying it from left to right, the majority of the time, those are right-handed block layers. Are you
right.
following me?
Yes, sir.
Does that make sense? And you'll
yes,
go
sir.
Back and look at a lot of videos, you'll see me still doing it. I'll lay left to right, but it's right-handed block layers because, for instance, my left hand was the hand, that's the reason why my shoulder's so messed up now, thinking I'm a bionic man, but this is the hand I used to use to control the block. My right hand is my trowel hand. Are you following
right.
me? And that's the hand that I would actually do the trowel. So I would actually lay the butt of the block and then put the block down on my left and then trowel on my right. It makes no difference which way I went.
Okay, yes, sir. I was just curious about that. That's all I had tonight, and bless you.
Shabbat shalom. Let's go to Florida. Call number 904-904. Pastor Dow, you're on the Straight Truth Radio broadcast. I can help you there in Florida.
Shabbat shalom, my shepherd.
Shabbat shalom.
This is Brother Ray.
How you doing, Brother Ray?
I'm all right, sir. How you doing?
I'm blessed of the Most High Yah, highly favored, name written down in Lamb's Book of Life, fighting sin and the devil, and I'm continually running for my life.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Pastor, I have a question coming from Romans 12.
Romans 12.
Verses,
all right.
Yes, sir. Verses 11 through 13. Says, don't be lazy when hard work is needed, but serve the master with spiritual fervor. Rejoice in your hope, be patient in your troubles, and continue steadfastly in prayer. Share what you have with Yah's people and practice hospitality. I'm trying to understand to be patient in your troubles and to don't be lazy when hard work is needed.
Yep.
Is that spiritual work or fleshly work? I mean...
No, that's straight up physical work. When it's talking about work.
Yes, sir. And to be patient in your troubles. What?
In other words, you know how sometimes people get anxiety attacks and they lose their mind whenever trouble comes their way? They think they're worrying, having anxiety is going to change the situation, circumstances, and act like that they have to worry, they have to have anxiety, they have to have projected fears and stuff. But that's someone who's hasty in spirit. That's not patient in spirit. Y'all is teaching us to learn and for us to learn the ability of having self-control. Truth is, you can't do nothing about the situation, circumstance anyway. You just going to have to wait and see what the change is going to be.
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you, Pastor.
Be patient.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
All right, my brother. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Go to Florida again. Call number 813-813. It's Pastor Dow. No. Florida, 904-904. It's Pastor Dow. Is that you, Ray, I just got finished dealing with?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's go to 813-813 in Florida. It's Pastor Dow. You're on the Straight Truth Radio broadcast. I can help you there.
Pastor, it's Brother Jose. Is that you? Am I on?
Bro. Brother who?
Brother Jose. How you doing, my pastor?
Hey, how you doing, Brother Jose?
Yeah, normally you know me on the number, so I was confused there, but no worries. I'm doing well, Pastor. First, I'd like to say thank you for all that you do, like always. You know, it's just such a great voice to hear in the times we live in, I tell you. I had a question for you, Pastor. Matthew... chapter 24, and
go ahead.
It stands out on where Jesus is talking about where the days of Noah, when the flood came, it took took them away. And if you read, what verse is it, 24? Well, he eventually goes on and says that there will be two in the field, which you obviously already know, that will be there, and one will be taken and one will be left. What time will we, how would, is he describing they're going to be taken away, they're going to drop dead? How would you understand that better, but you have better understanding?
Pretty simple. Really simple. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
All right. He first starts off in context talking about the days of Noah. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. In the days of Noah, who was taken and who was left? Was the wicked, who was taken and who was left?
The wicked were taken, and Noah's family was left in the ark.
Exactly, because remember, the Bible also says the meek shall inherit the earth. Remember that, all right?
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
So it was the wicked that was taken and the righteous that was left.
Mm-hmm.
What's the other part of the question?
That's where the lie is, and that's what I was trying to get at, the Christian lie that says that we are going to be raptured. Don't get me wrong.
I do believe that we're going to be raptured up out of here, but we're not going to be raptured up out of here before the Great Tribulation. According to the book of Revelation, we've got seven trumpets that we got to go through. We got the seals, the trumpets, and the vows to go through, and we're not going to be changed, according to 1 Corinthians 15, until the last trump. And then that's when all that's going to take place. But even at that, we're not going to be going up in no heaven, having a seven-year marriage supper of the Lamb, and then come back and watch everybody else be destroyed. We're going to be changed the moment twinkle of an eye at the last trump. Yah is going to destroy this wicked earth and the wicked that's in it in one day. And then he's going to come back to this earth, and we're going to come back with him. All this is going to happen in one day.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have another question, if you got time, Pastor, about the Bible, the book. I don't believe that it's by accident that we have so much easy access to the Bible today. Would you agree that when Christ spoke about, you know, beware lest any man deceive you, the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch, do you believe there's a reason why this word is we have such easy access, but no one wants to open up the book? Do you believe it's part of Christ's saying beware, because there's going to be many false Christs, false teachers, false pastors, false prophets, deceiving so many, so he made sure that his word would remain throughout this generation.
Jesus said he has hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and has revealed them unto babes. Did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
That's what he's done. A lot of people, they got this Bible in front of them, but they don't understand that the majority of this Bible that we have in front of us is a translation. Now, don't get me wrong. Listen to me. Is the scripture the word of God? You better believe it is 100%. I have every confidence in the world of the Moses and the prophets, Yeshua and the apostles. I don't have a lick of confidence in the translators. That's the reason why I look behind every word. Every single word that presented to us in this Gentile English language, I take it back concretely to the Hebraic language, or if it's in a renewed covenant, to the Greek, which should be in line with the Hebrew when you look at it. And I check these things out carefully because these translators had an agenda. They wanted to put forth their culture, their theology, their ideology. They wanted to put forth these demagogues and these gods coexisting. But the Bible doesn't speak that way. That's the reason why the Bible says, study, show yourself approved unto Yah, a workman that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the reason why he said that. So, hey, I hope you got what I understand, my brother.
Yes, sir, my pastor, and I thank you for it. Thank you very much, my pastor. I tell you, the reason I say is because today, just the King James Bible alone, I send just the words of Christ to people. And they think I'm judging them, and they're just reading the words of Christ. My uncle today thought I was judging him because I was sending him the words of Christ. And they get offended just by hearing, because they don't even know what he said. So to me, I just find it, and of course now you got the NIV and all these other translations that are trying to change the word of Yah. I think even though the King James Version definitely changed, and you know, there's a lot of, like you said, the penmanship is kind of, you want to go back and study, but I think the King James Version Bible still has a lot of power into destroying the devils that are out here.
It's just that these people, brother, y'all's not dealing with them. It's like y'all ain't dealing with Christians. You ever notice that Christians love giving you their philosophy, their opinion, their feelings, their ideals, their emotions? They love communicating with them. When you start talking to them about the Bible, all of a sudden they act like Dracula. They want to take off and run, throw up cross and everything else, man. These folks are just off the chain.
He sent me a link to Phil Robinson's speech because he knows I'm in Christ. I'm having a day. So he sends me this text, and it was a bad day for him because I just started sending him what Christ said, because Phil Robinson in his speech started quoting men that wrote the Constitution. And I'm like, if he's going to talk about Jesus Christ in California, why is he not talking about the prophets, the apostles, you know, Jesus Christ? Why does he not have a Bible in his hand? Why is he reading the men? Because they claim to believe in God, like you say, and they're not talking about, he's not actually preaching. So I just kind of, I didn't, you know, every man has his own gifts on how he's going to talk about Christ, on however he does it, but I kind of was confused on that, and I questioned it to him and started sending him the words of Christ, Jesus Christ, in the Bible, and it's like he got offended. And then I was just sending him words where Christ says, you know, great, if you're offended in my words, I'm going to be offended in you. So he just got very upset about that. So it's just crazy how you see this manifest. And it's a beautiful thing, and I thank the Most High for it, because it just shows you the power of Yah against these devils that are among us.
Glory to the King. No doubt the Antichrist, that's for sure.
Yes, sir, my pastor. Thank you again. Thank you for all that you do. Just, you know, for all the saints, bless all of you. You are on all of my prayers, and bless you, Pastor. Hallelujah.
All right, bless my brother. Shabbat Shalom. Let's go to call number 757 in Virginia, Brother Toby. 757 in Virginia is Pastor Dow. You're on the Survey 2, the radio broadcast. How can I help you, Brother Toby?
Shalom, Pastor.
Shalom.
This is Sister Nicola.
How you doing?
Brother Toby, sir. I have a couple of questions.
Okay,
so my question is, well, first of all, thank you. You baptized me when I was there. I was there with down on your property twice, and you baptized me, and second, I got delivered, and I got deliverance again on the second time, and I was scared to talk to you because you remind me so much of my upbringing, my father, the men in my family. Just not that I was scared, just your demeanor.
What's wrong with my demeanor?
It's just really strong. I'm from Jamaica, and the man in my family has always been like, just like you are. So the first time I watched your broadcast, it was like, oh my goodness, remind me so much of my dad and my uncles.
Yes, ma'am. How can I help you?
So, how do I put this? Do you think it's disobedient if I know it says the Bible doesn't doesn't say you can't about listening, but
you can't what?
Question, it's okay for a man to have more than one wife.
Okay.
My question is, is there grace period like between the wives, like if he's married and he's not able to do another wife, but he's just constantly like talking about it, and is it disobedient for me to say you're not ready, it's not time, and also is it disobedient to say when he's ready, and if it's that, that's the Lord's will, he will put it in the path.
Well, yeah, I mean, first of all, number one, I don't know any wife that is not going to instruct their husband or wife right way. I do know wives today that would just tell them out of their own lust and say, no, you're not ready. But the bottom line is, in this ministry, all right, I'm going to say it again, in this ministry, we're not against a man having more than one wife because it's what the Bible says. Matter of fact, it's a law. It's regulated. However, we do have oversight. We do regulate. We do adjudicate these matters because we are outside of our covenant in captivity and things need to be regulated and things need to be done right. Just because things are lawful doesn't mean that it's always expedient. Just because a man can actually eat food or he can actually drink wine, hey, if he's going to drink some wine, it's going to make his brother be offended. That don't mean it's lawful for him to drink that wine, even though it's lawful for him to drink that wine. But here in this ministry, we don't put up with people going out and doing their own thing without the oversight and without the direction of the pastors and the elders, because we want to remind you, we're restoring things that are lost. All right? But it is a man's right to be able to have, by divine fiat, if he wants more than one wife, he can have more than one wife, period. If he's not financially able to be able to take care of another wife and a family, then the answer is a positively no. That's where the myself and the elder step in to be able to look at these situations, assess these situations, and see if you can go forward. And finances don't have the only thing to do with it. Are you mentally able and capable? Have you been a man of stability? Have you had a track record proven and showing that you've been able to take care of your wife, your first wife, and the family or the children you have with them? There's a lot of variables involved, if you understand what I mean. In the ministry, we have probably 8 or 10 polygynous families in the ministry, and we've got even more polygynous families seeking to want to become a part of the ministry, to come to the ministry, that listens to the ministry, that are involved in the ministry. So we do have them. It's just that we want to make sure that things are done right, because we don't want somebody coming in tearing up households and families and everything else, and then a man going out there trying to think that just because he can do it, that he can do it on his own. And he can do it. But if any man is going to come to his ministry and just take it upon himself to take on another wife without our oversight and without us being able to regulate and adjudicate and to actually watch over these matters to make sure that no parties are abused, then he can go out there and go do it by himself, but they won't be a part of this ministry.
Okay. Okay, so what would you advise a wife to do if that's all her husband talks about, like in conversation, like every
first of all you need to understand you need to realize that if your husband or if a husband is talking about that, he's showing honor and he's showing respect to you. He's not doing like a lot of these book-licking jack-leg dogs out here today that just go out there and decide that they're going to take on another wife and then drop it on their wife. Hey, I took another wife. He's showing honor, and he's showing respect towards you as a wife. And what he's doing is letting you know exactly what his intentions is without hiding anything. I don't know of any greater honor and greater respect than a man that is willing to sit down and discuss these matters and talk these matters with their wives. I mean, that shows that he's maturing to a level, and he's ready to move forward, and he's going to move forward, but he just wants your support in the whole thing in order to make it a smooth transition, because, you know, there's an old saying go that the dog's bark is bigger than his bite. In other words, a lot of times the devil makes this out of a mountain when really truly it's just a molehill, and it could be something that is a blessing for all parties involved.
Thank you, Pastor.
Bless you.
Bless you. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Woo! I guess there's going to be a question from here until the day that we continue to go on to the King. You know, I'm one of a few pastors that's in a ministry that we're going to promote what the Bible says, and I don't give a damn what secular humanistic society says. There's no way that I can follow the wicked ass laws of this land that turn around and said it is okay for another man to insert his penis in another man's asshole and then ejaculate in his asshole and then say that that's lawful when Yah commands the death penalty for such a damn sickness and disease, if you understand what I mean. How in the hell are we going to sit up and let these suited and booted people in this secular government trying to tell us what's lawful and righteous when they can't even get just simple morality right? Ain't no way in hell I'm going to sit there and listen to these boogers. I'm going to listen to the law, and I'm going to listen to the prophets, period, point blank. And then I can't listen to these religious hoaxers. You know, polygyny is one of the test questions that I use. When I'm dealing with preachers and teachers, I want to see if they can acknowledge the truth and support their truth, or they're going to end up defaulting to their opinion over Yah's truth. Because it lets me know what people's heart is. Are you following me? That's what it does with me. But the bottom line is, ain't nothing you can do about it. What you women need to do is you need to get your wicked hearts right and realize that, hey, you can either be with that man or not. Makes no difference, because your marriage is your marriage individual. When he, if he takes on another wife, then that is a different marriage covenant. Even though you're sister wise, but that ain't none of your business. That's just you. Hopefully, that he's just looking for a peaceful home. That's it. But if he can't have a peaceful home, one of you gonna go sooner or later. One of you're gonna show your ass too long, too much, and you gonna go. And it makes no difference if you've been there 50 years or 2 years. One of you gonna go, because you're supposed to be after his heart. You're supposed to be his helpmeet. If everybody could do their roles and do their roles back well. If you are a wife, you have a husband, do your wife role and do it well. If you are a sister, do the sister role and do it well. Do it well. If you are a mother, do your role and do it well. If you are a man and you are a husband, do your role and do it well. It's charged to provide food, clothing, conjugal rights. Do it well. Your father, do it well. Your brother, do it well. Be impeccable in your character and get rid of these cardinal base feelings and emotions, these weak feelings and emotions, and line up with Yah's program and love it. With that said, let's go to Wisconsin. Brother Tyler. It's Pastor Dow, you're on the Straight Truth Radio broadcast. I can help you.
Shabbat shalom, Pastor.
Shabbat shalom, Brother Tyler.
What an edifying show. I have a question relative to researching, you know, about baptism and the scriptures that are up on straightwaytruth.com. Is there anything else in addition to read before and after the scriptures that are posted there that for my edification and Sister Crystal's edification?
I mean, no. I mean, when we come to Wisconsin up there, we're more likely we're going to baptize you Friday, okay? And if you want to be baptized,
yes,
we'll baptize both of you. But no, ain't no, you believe, you repent of your sin, you have a chain of heart, you want to get baptized, we'll baptize you when we get there Friday, okay?
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Super excited, Pastor. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Yeah, y'all just keep his commandments and live. With that said, see y'all tomorrow morning. I bless you all in sweet, precious, strong, victorious, and mighty, overcoming name, our soon coming King, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Y'all be encouraged. I love each and every last one of you with all my heart. I truly, truly do. That's why I feed you Yah's word, because I love him and I love you, Israel. Y'all be encouraged. The King is coming.